It's Brother Billy. I'll say good morning to each one of you and pray the Word of God's going to bless you today. We're looking to the ninth chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 9 of the Word. We're going to move around a little bit, as we usually do, and see some things God may say to us. I pray you're looking forward to a good day of worship. As the inspirations were singing this morning, we got them queued up. And they're singing that precious song of being led by the Master's hand. Isn't that what we need? That's what every one of us needs today. We need to be led by the Lord, led by the Master. We need to understand and know that God knows all things. And we find it was true in Moses' life. We find it was true in so many of the patriarchs' life, and the disciples' life, the apostles' life. And you know, I'm glad it can be true in our life. We can be led by the Lord. And so Paul dealt with this in Romans 8. He said, if any man be led not by the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And so if we're born of God, we're to be led of God. God longs to lead us. And you know, he always leads us in the paths we ought to go. Doesn't that amaze you? He never leads us into sin. He never leads us into things that's going to hurt us or damage us. And people say sometimes, preacher, I don't understand why God's against that. Well, he knows what's good for us. Just as you know what's good for your children, they may see something that looks perfectly harmless. But you, by your leadership, you tell them no. That's an unusual concept today, isn't it? A parent telling a child no. And so we find it here that as we lead our children, God leads his young'uns. And see, we're looking in Romans 9, because Romans 9 talks about who are his and who's not his. And so we find there is no middle ground. We have to do away with this middle ground business. You know, people say, well, maybe I'm saved. Well, there's no such thing as maybe. You are or you aren't. And they said, well, I hope I'm saved. Well, we're not basing our faith on hope. That is simply a wish in our heart. Now, real hope, that's a different subject. But faith or hope that's just a hope-so religion, that's the wrong kind. That won't get the job done. And so Jesus never dealt with the middle ground. He always dealt with those that were in or out. And that's the way we have to preach the old bloody gospel. That's the way Paul preached it right here. Let's look at some things God had to say as he dealt with the call of God. Now, before we read this, I do want to tie some things together with you out of Exodus chapter number 8. Exodus 8, I believe, is the place. I'm flipping backward now. Exodus 10 is where I want to read some things here, because Pharaoh had abused God's people. And God had done many miracles in his heart. And every time God would do a miracle, it would harden Pharaoh's heart. And his heart was hardened. His heart was hardened. You remember this. And so in these 12 contests, there was 11 different times that Moses has came to Pharaoh now. He's come to him and he's warned him. He's come to him and told him. God said, let my people go that they may worship me. And here we see it where he said no, and you cannot. And then there were the compromises. And the compromises were not what God wanted. God wanted his people to be liberated. So in the liberating of his people, God wanted them set free to go and worship. And here, the last time God's got kind of aggravated, you know, there is a time when God quits dealing with people. He stops. We find a time here that God began to be weary with Pharaoh. And you know, he would always tell, people said, preacher, don't you think the Lord was a little surprised? No. He always told Moses what Pharaoh's response would be. Now, God knows your response, sir. He said, preacher, I'm going to surprise the Lord one day and give my heart to him. No, you're not. He knows our response. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows all things as we are. God knows how we respond to his call. And God is very interested that we respond in a positive way. Now, Pharaoh never did do that. And by that, his heart was hardened. But look at this. I want to read to you in Exodus 10, 28. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast well spoken, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. Well, I'm going to tell you, those were powerful words. Those were words that meant more than the heat of the moment as Moses came back to Pharaoh. And those were words, you know, it doesn't that sound like people today? Now, you know, Pharaoh was a wicked king. But isn't that a similarity to when people reject the call of God and reject the hand of God and reject the wooing of the Spirit of the Lord? See, we are not saved by our desire. We are saved by God's will. And we're going to read this in Romans 9. Now, this is a powerful point that I think you need to understand. You said, "Preacher, I am saved." Well, maybe you need to understand it for your children. Maybe you need to understand it for your brothers and sisters. Maybe you need to understand it, preacher, for those that come into the ministry God's given you and you're allowed to preach to them and share with them. There is a lost art of preaching today concerning the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so the Lordship of Christ is what we're dealing with here. And this is what Paul's dealing with in Romans 9. And men say, "Tomorrow I will get up and go, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to buy over here and sell over there and take a profit." And James said, "There's nothing wrong with you buying and selling." But he said, "Don't say I'm going to do it tomorrow. Get up and do it today." "Go to now," James said, "ye that say this." And he said, why? Because we know not what tomorrow holds. We know not what is of tomorrow. And so today is the day of salvation. We have to preach that. We have to preach that God may never give a man, woman, boy, girl one more call. There may never be a time when God speaks to you, sir, again. Isn't that what Pharaoh said? Pharaoh said, "See my face no more." You know what he was saying to Moses? "Away with you, Moses, and away with your God." Well, people will do you like that. That will happen. If you do enough witnessing, we're talking about effective witnessing for the kingdom of God, you will find people that will tell you, "Don't speak to me anymore. I don't want to see you anymore. I don't want to hear about that Jesus bit. Away with that stuff." Well, that's essentially what Pharaoh's doing. And so Moses said, "Thou hast spoken well." He said, "Preacher, you know, I think if I could just sneak back in there one more time, sir, you're wasting your time. God's saying something to you." Now, don't get me wrong. We ought to be patient. We ought to love people and care for people. But when we sense that God's shutting the door, we need to understand. And Moses understood this, and he said, "You've spoken well." And he said, "You'll see my face no more." And so find it now. The Lord said, chapter 11, verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, "Yet will I bring one more plague." God said one more time, Moses. And watch this. This blesses me. He said one more time upon Pharaoh. One more plague. And upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will. Watch how adamant God is about this. He will let you go hence. When he shall have let you go, he shall surely. Watch now. He shall surely thrust you out. Brother, I'm going to tell you, that's not just a little gentle pampering along, is it? No. God said he's going to thrust you out. Oh, he's going to want you out of there quicker than quick. He's going to get you out of there at a breakneck speed. If he could, he literally would throw you out. All 1 million to 2 million of you Jews, he would throw you out. And so he's going to thrust you. I like that word. You ought to underline that sometime in Genesis 11, 1. "Speak now in the ears of the people." God said, "Let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver, jewels of gold." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. He said, "Preacher, I thought God was against silver and gold. I thought God was against that." Well, he said, "The silver's mine and the gold's mine." God said, "It's all mine." And he said, "I want you to borrow from those Egyptians all the silver and gold that you can get." Now, there was a divine purpose for this. It wasn't to make them rich. That wasn't it. It wasn't where they could hoard it up. It wasn't where they could adorn themselves with it and look like the world. You know, there's a fine line in there. We understand that. And so it wasn't for any of those purposes. We find that the purpose of that was to be used for the tabernacle. And when God would prepare the people for worship, they would use those things that they borrowed, and God would use them in the producing of the tabernacle for worship. And so see it here. Watch now. The Lord said unto Moses, one more thing, and they will thrust you out. And the Lord gave the people, verse 3, favor. I like this. But there's a lot of preaching right here in these four or five verses. God gave them favor. The Lord gave them favor, and God can give you and I favor. And I'm going to tell you, I think of another passage here before I forget about it and move on in the message. You know, we read it in the Proverbs, I believe it's in the Proverbs, where the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Maybe the Psalms. But the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And so what happens? God said the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Now I like this, brother. And here, as they are borrowing from these Egyptians, and they're just loading them up with gold and silver, and you got to imagine 1 million to 2 million, you're counting the babies and all. There's a lot of these. Well, there were 603,550 footmen of war, so you do the math. And probably the majority of those were married, so we got to add another 500,000 for that. And they all like to have lots of children, but let's just say they all had 2 apiece. Well, there's another 1 million. But more likely, they had 10 apiece. So we don't know what the numbers truly were, but we know what the armed trained footmen were. We got that right out of the book of Numbers, because they numbered every man of war. Thank God for people that's willing to fight. It's why we're free today. And so every man of war trained for war was numbered by the tribes. And so back to the point, here they're borrowing, you get the idea, they're borrowing a lot of silver, a lot of gold. And God said, the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just. And then the Lord said that he gave the people favor. I'm going to tell you, God, sir, can give you favor. He can give you favor even among the wicked. God can give you favor among the lost. Do you believe that? God said, preacher, how's God ever going to bless me? If you'll honor him and obey him, he's going to bless you with spiritual blessings. He gives us all spiritual blessings. I like that verse. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. But not only that, he'll send some material things your way. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what God's doing here. He's giving them some material things. They found favor. They obtained favor of the Lord. And so you and I can too. And watch now. And the word said, moreover, the man Moses was great in the land of Egypt, and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. So this Moses, who fled as a fugitive, remember back in chapter 1 and 2? Moses fled for his life. They said, who's made you a ruler and a judge? And God said, I'm going to make him a ruler and a judge. And so when Moses was at the ripe young age of 80, that's right, he's 80 years old. Most of us ain't even got old enough to be really used to the Lord yet. And so here Moses is 80. He's right there. Brother, he's 40 years taking care of his father-in-law's sheep and herds and cattle. And you know, that was lowly work. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes God wants to bring us through the low places where he finds out what we're made of and gets us conditioned for service. So at the age of 80, he goes back. And here, God makes him great in the sight of the people. Even Pharaoh's servants think a lot of Moses. Now, Pharaoh didn't want to see Moses coming back to the palace door. And remember, that's the same palace that Pharaoh's cut his teeth on. Moses cut his teeth right there on the furniture. He was raised up in the palace. He was raised up by Pharaoh's daughter. Of course, that was the Pharaoh before. That Pharaoh's dead now. And so here we find it. that Pharaoh, who is wicked of heart, he don't want to see Moses coming, but all them other folks kind of like Moses, and the word said they were favorable. They were real favorable. God gave him favor in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And so we know what happened. We're going back to Romans 9 now. We know what happened. Here we see it, that Pharaoh, his heart was hardened. What God said was so. And Pharaoh, what happened? In the midnight cry, when the death angel come, there was a cry heard, and the death angel swept through every barn door and took the firstborn of every cattle and sheep, and he swept through all the paupers' places and all the servants, and he took their firstborn. And just like God said, and Moses said, one more time, one more plague, God said, I've got Pharaoh's number. Moses, you rest your pretty little head, son. Quit fretting. I'm God saying this to you today. Some of you are worried. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. He said, what is your life? It's but a vapor. But Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. He said, all the things you have need of, God knoweth. And so here, Moses, what's he doing? He's waiting on the Lord. It's what me and you need to be doing. Waiting on God. Let's don't get ahead of God, and let's don't lag behind. Let's stay with him. I like that. Let's stay right with the Lord, and that's being led by the Lord, being able to hear the Lord. Now what if Moses couldn't have heard the Lord? He said, preacher, I've never heard God in an audible voice. And, well, I haven't either, but that's not important. What's important is hearing God. We are born of His seed, born to the water of His Word. With our genetic makeup as believers, we are birthed by God. And so we can hear. You know, sometimes communications pass between you and your children, and a word's never spoke. And so hearing an audible voice is not important. And sometimes it's the way we sense that. And here we're talking about being sensitive to the Spirit of God. We need to be sensitive. God's called us to be sensitive to Him. And Moses was very sensitive. And so when God said, you go home, son, and you roast that Passover lamb, and eat all of it. Don't leave any of it for tomorrow. And so what are you going to do? You're going to take it, and you're going to shut your door, and you're going to take the blood of that lamb. People said, preacher, that's crazy talk. Who does stuff like that? People that believe God. And so here, they believe God, and what do? They took and they painted the door post and the lintel of the door with the Passover blood. Why? Because God said the Passover angel's coming. And you say, well, I would have never believed that. Well, some didn't. Some didn't, and their firstborn perished. Some don't believe that Jesus is coming back, and you know what they do? They live lost. They live without Christ. They refuse and rebel. God said, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We find it right there in Isaiah 1:20. And so God talked about those that refused and rebelled. Well, Pharaoh was part of that number. He refused and rebelled, and when the death angel came by, every door that had no blood over the door, the death angel struck the firstborn, and there was weeping and wailing. That is, makes you think of what Jesus said, doesn't it? He said there'll be weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. And so here the cry came, and when the death angel passed, the firstborn was struck. And here God didn't stop it in the stable, and God didn't stop it in the servants' chambers, and God didn't stop it in the palace. And the death angel swept right through those palace doors and took the firstborn of Pharaoh and destroyed him. And here what God said Pharaoh would do, he did do. And we find it to be so that he told Moses, he said, up and get you out. You cannot get out quick enough. Now the last thing we read was Moses, y'all calm down. You ain't going anywhere. You cannot go. But when God got done, and I don't know if that's good English or not, but it's good preaching. When God got done, they were all ready to go. I'm talking about it was ready. He truly was ready to do what God said. Thrust them out. Whatever you need, take it and just get out. The death angel has passed over. And it's going to be a time when people are going to see that the Word of God is going to come to pass just like that in our day. I truly believe Jesus can come in our lifetime, don't you? There's nothing to be done to stop the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ when He catches away His church in the air. Just that sudden. What happens? Just as sudden as that. Brother, it will happen. You said, preacher, it snuck up on Pharaoh. He was warned. And people today are going to say, preacher, I did not know. Jesus, I did not know. But you've been warned. If you hear this broadcast, you've been warned. If you hear preaching elsewhere, you've been warned. If you've been exposed to the Word of God, you've been warned. You say, well, I didn't like it and quit reading it, preacher. Doesn't matter. You were warned. You held the book that gave you the instructions for eternity. And so we find it. Go over now to the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. So this is a long way to tie it together. But I pray and trust it'll be worthwhile when we see the great truths. Now we said something about this. We're preaching the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Lordship of Christ. And what's that mean? That means God saves whom He wills. God is not waiting on men to make Jesus Lord. God's already made Him Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. God's made Him Lord. And Peter preached that on the day of Pentecost. He preached that when he said, this same Jesus, whom ye both crucified and killed and beaten, he said, God had taken Him. What did He do? He raised Him and He's made Him both Lord and Christ. And so we're going to see this in Romans 9 now. As we read, for the word of promise, I'm going to skip down a little bit where we can get to the gist of the matter here for the sake of time. For the word, this is the word of promise, Romans 9:9. At the time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, watch now, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. Watch this. Verse 12. It was said unto her, Rebekah. Remember, she's got the twins in her room, in her womb. Esau and Isaac. And so it was said, but unto him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Romans 9:13. You ought to remember this verse. As it is written, God told Rebekah. He told her that the elder is going to serve the younger. That's right backwards to what it should be. The firstborn had the birthright, but God knew the firstborn would sell the birthright. God knew that Esau would make light of holy things. God knew that Esau would count it wicked what he counted holy. Isn't that what sinners do? The things that God count holy, the wicked count as wicked. Now see this. God exposed Esau even before anything happened in his life. God knew all things and He still knows all things. That's not changed. God knows the fate of every man, woman, boy, or girl. You said, preacher, there's no need in preaching if what you're saying is true. No, there's more need for preaching. We have to preach the gospel because God knows the fate of every man, woman, boy, or girl. It doesn't mean we know it. It doesn't mean we can see through the eons of time. It doesn't mean that we are omniscient. We're all knowing. We're not. God is. We're not. See this now, but He's warned Rebekah that the elder shall serve the younger. And of course, Rebekah didn't fully understand. What shall we say then? I'm reading now in verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Paul said, no. There's not a problem with God's righteousness. You said, well, it's a terrible thing. God has let Esau go to hell. Wasn't God's fault. Esau was raised up in the same home and family, in the same God honoring mom and daddy by the name of Isaac and Rebekah. Esau sat at the same family devotions. Esau went to the same local synagogue or church, if they had one. Esau was right there at all the family picnics, where where the great patriarchs were honoring God and telling about the good things of God. Here, Esau, he was exposed to the same gospel. But his fate was not the same. And God said, is there unrighteousness with God? No. If you have 5 children and you raise them all right, and 4 of them say one of them's lost, is that your fault? No, it's not God's fault either. And so what happens? We expose our children. I'm going to tell you, you got a responsibility if you don't expose your children to the Word of God. But that's another message. Here we find it. Let's stay on subject. Because he saith, God saith to Moses, I will have mercy. See this in verse 15. I'm going to tell you, we have to quit preaching that men get saved when they get ready. That's not so. It's not when men gets ready. It's when God calls. It's when the Spirit of God speaks. It's when the drawing of the Holy Ghost. See, I'm going to tell you, I don't understand how I understood this. I really don't, because I knew nothing about the Bible before I got saved. But there was something about it. When I'd go out and tank my body full of booze and lay in my bed at night, and you know, sometimes that bed wasn't being still, it was spinning. And I think it was other times, you following me, that whole room was spinning. But I'm going to tell you, there was somewhere and something about it. When the crowd was gone and the booze was gone and the good times and the girls was gone, when all that was gone, you know what happened? You know what? It'd be me and God shut up in that room. It be me and the Holy Ghost, just like it is with you. And there was something about it. When those lights went out, it was me and God saying something to me. You know what I felt? I felt in my heart. Don't ask me how. I do not know. I don't already express that. I felt that if I missed the call of God one more time, He'd never call me again. Well, I think that's very biblical, don't you? It could be very scriptural. Because God says what I'm reading to you right here. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So it's not of him that willeth. It's not up to you, is what God's saying. He said, preacher, I'm going to get right. Right before I die, I'm going to get right. No, you're not. You're going to get right when the Spirit of God calls you, or you won't come. Now, I'm going to show you this in a New Testament example, right straight from the lips of the Lord Jesus. But we got to see this first. I'll have mercy and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God wills that all men are saved. That's His will. But that doesn't mean all men will be saved, because they reject and refuse and rebel the call of God, like some of you are doing right now. God's saying to you, come. God's calling some right now, come, and they won't come. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh. See, I told you we're going to say something about Pharaoh here. And remember how many times Moses contested with him? The last time was the 12th time. But here we find it. What about these other 11 times? And we never do find where Pharaoh got right with God. God took his boy, but I never read where Pharaoh got right, did you? But Moses has come by. Oh, you say, well, the preacher, he come back by my place. Well, Moses kept coming back by Pharaoh's place, and Pharaoh would not hear. And God said, he said, even for this same purpose, I've raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. See, God said unto Pharaoh, for this purpose I've raised you up. God said, I'm going to make my glory known in Pharaoh. Now you said, preacher, what if Pharaoh would have had a soft heart to the call of Jesus? Would he have been him? I don't believe that. God knew Pharaoh's heart. He knew it was wicked. He knew he'd never repent. And God said, I'm going to take Pharaoh and make an example of him. I'm going to show this world that my words, what we're doing right now, we're declaring it. God said, I want it declared that Pharaoh was hard-hearted and unrepentant. And I'm going to make my glory name on him, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. God said, I'm going to show Pharaoh who God is, what he done. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy. You ought to underline that 9:18. And whom he will, he hardeneth. I don't want God to harden my heart. I knew that before I was lost. When I was lost, before I was saved. I didn't want God to harden my heart. I didn't want God to close the book on me. I didn't want God to write me off. Preacher, do you really believe that happens? It happened for Pharaoh, didn't it? It happens for men today. There are men walking today that's been damned and doomed by the will of God, and the call of God will never come to their heart one more time. I was so afraid, fear struck my heart, that what if God didn't call me again? And I think that is a very godly fear, that God is God. And it's not ABC religion. It's not accept, believe, and confess. You can do that till Jesus comes. It will not save you. There has to be a call. There has to be a drawing. There has to be a wooing of the Holy Ghost. No man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Without Christ, you can't be saved. People say, preacher, I'm going to get saved by Christ, but I'm going to get saved without Christ. I don't need that. I got a little prayer in my pocket. And when I think it's my heyday to meet Jesus, I'm going to say my little prayer, and I'm going to say my little catechism. I'm going to say my catechism, and I'm going to be saved. No, you're not. God said, I made an example out of Pharaoh, and he said, whom I will, I have mercy, and whom I will, I harden. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. Paul reiterated this. Watch now. Go backward to the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. And here we're going to see it quick, because we need to get these 3 or 4 verses. I like, John 6:37. John 6:37 said something about this. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now what happens? People say, preacher, you're preaching like salvation's up to God and not to men. God has made salvation available to all mankind. But I'm going to tell you, it's salvation that's of the Lord. It's not what men do, it's what God does. And we're going to see this right here. So we're going to clear up some things, some muddy water for you, right by the Word. And so here, all the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We talked about that one. Look at 6:44, because this is a very straightforward verse that ties what we're talking about together. No man can come to me. Watch now. You said, preacher, I'm going to come when I get ready. Jesus said, no man can come to me. You ought to see this. Except, see, here is the exception. You see, this does away with this, I'm going to get saved when I get ready, because it just dead sure ain't so. It is not so and cannot be so. No man can come to me, Christ said, except the Father which sent me draw him. Oh, that's what we're preaching. There has to be a drawing. There has to be a calling. This is why it scared me to death when God called me. You know what the Holy Ghost was saying in my heart? This could be your last call. Get right today. Repent today. God don't owe you another opportunity. And so here, he said, the Father will draw him. And Jesus said, I will raise him up at the last day. He said, if the Father draws him and he comes to me, I'll save him and I'll raise him up in the resurrection. But he said, if the Father don't draw him, he can't come. Do you see that? And so that's Pharaoh's case. Watch over and you'll see. I thought there was one more passage I wanted to look at. But we've got enough right here to satisfy. See this now. It's the Spirit. Here it is, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now, all in the same chapter, John 6. You know what Jesus is saying? He said the only thing that can save a man is the Spirit of God. The Spirit quickeneth. The Holy Ghost. The Spirit of life through God is the only one that can make us alive unto God. The flesh profiteth nothing. We can do all our fleshly deeds. You said, preacher, I'm going to go hire somebody to baptize me. Well, go ahead. It profiteth nothing. That's flesh. And preacher, I'm going to say the prayers. I'm going to say them for a week solid. I ain't going to eat nothing for a week. That's flesh. No. Jesus said you can't come except the Father draw you. But if the Father draws you, bless God, I will raise them up at the last day. You know what we find? We find then the great truth that salvation is of the Lord. That it is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is what He does and not what we do. You said, "Preacher, do I have any place in salvation?" Repent. God's called all men everywhere to repent. That is a command to repent, to fall on the mercy of the Lord Jesus, to trust Him. You know, I like that song the Inspiration sing, and the song says something about, "I've never gotten over being saved." I pray if you can't say that, there'll be a time when you can. "I've never gotten over getting saved." Is that your case today? Are you saved by the marvelous grace of God? Are you in or out? You say, "I'm somewhere in the middle." There's no middle ground. We have to get saved by the Lord Jesus. We have to hear the call of God. We have to believe Him. We have to obey Him. We have to trust Him. And we have to take Him at His word. If Pharaoh would have only took Him at His word, he didn't have to go to hell, did he? You said, "Preacher, God knew he would." That's right. But I'm going to tell you, God's not willing that any should perish. That includes the Pharaohs and the Hitlers. God's not willing that any should perish. That includes the meanest men this world's ever known. God's not willing that one should perish. You said, "Preacher, I don't know what, you don't know what I've done." No, but I know that God's not willing that any should perish. Father, take your word today and speak it. God, speak your word, I pray. God, make it real to hearts everywhere. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord Jesus would conquer. God, if there's anyone out there, Father, that would trust in getting saved on their own without you, God, I pray that would be dashed. Lord, that would be stripped. That would be taken away by the power of God. And through His word, Father, speak it now. We ask you, save the one that's nearest hell. In Jesus' name I ask. God, one that can hear your calling voice. God, one that feels that drawing in his heart. God, save him right now. Lord, lead him to a place of repentance. God, work, I pray, and birth him into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Cause all men everywhere to trust in you. We ask it right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.